Good morning. You're listening to the Monday Morning After. Howdy.
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 Are you going to be there?
For?
Which one? The meet and greet and the la 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 la's and the...
I will be just to sing the la 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 part. So we have an alternate art interview today.
Yes, we have an interview with Shelley Miller. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And there, I was just thinking while we were listening to all that stuff about what's happening here in the future, can you think of any other artist or art that is so affected by the weather? And that's not to put you on the spot, but more as a way of introducing that, yes, the weather affects your art like
crazy.
I don't know, like nobody's business.
Oh, I know.
Uh-huh. No, just how about, would you like me to describe it? Would you like to describe it, or would you like somebody else to try and describe it?
I'd like to hear someone else describe it, either you or someone else.
Okay. Did you guys read up and check any links?
I will be doing that right now.
Okay. Then at which point, how about we stick me under the spotlight as opposed to putting pressure on them?
It is your alternate art interview, Zeke.
It is.
And we learn something new every Monday, which is why I always like to wait.
Okay. Okay. That's it. Butter
as
me.
As you mentioned, the websites. I check out the websites as you mentioned.
But butter me up. That's it. That's a way to my heart. Speaking of butter, it's another sort of thing which, in small doses, is very good for you and very tasty. In large doses, will kill you. Shelley works basically with sugar. It's sugar made into then sort of objects like tiles, like Delft tiles,
ceramic minerals. Mm-hmm.
And they then have these intricate designs on them, mostly, right now it's all completely all figurative stuff that then because of, they're just wild in that, now I'm just losing ideas because I'm concentrating.
Do you want me to jump in?
No, hold on, because there it's the sort of thing where I got off the topic of trying to visualize if you'd done any abstract stuff and then realized I don't think you've done any abstract stuff, even though I was going to say
Not with this work. It's always been... very representational.
Yes, very representational, because there's a whole sort of history of the sugar trade and everything like that back and forth, and you get trips to Brazil like, I don't know, every 6 weeks or something like that. You're like with the frequent flyer air miles first class all the way.
Oh yeah, all the way.
And so how was that as a nice introduction to your practice?
Sounds good.
Okay, what did I miss?
Well, that there's a project up now in Montreal.
We'll get to that. Okay.
But weather, yeah.
Yes, I know that. So how, there's a project up now at the corner of William and Prince, which is way down. William and Duke, sorry. And it's, yes, Ottawa and Prince, which is where Cartier-Femer is.
Right.
And it's on the Duke side.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And and there it's basically a bunch of sugar tiles, which is then a picture representational sort of collage, although you couldn't tell it's a collage because of the way that it's been co-opted by people who cut up magazines in the 20th century of things of the sugar trade. And then, what's the state of it now?
Well, I'm going to go down there after this and check it out. I was there Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I only installed it last week, Wednesday and Thursday. And, we had all this hot weather, no rain for weeks. And then, of course, as soon as I installed my temporary sugar installation, it decides to rain every single day, which is fine. And I know that it's going to do that, and it's supposed to do that. But it just is all happening a little bit quicker than I had
anticipated.
Yeah,
you hope that it's going to get a couple of days.
Well, the reason why it happening quickly is a bit of a panic is because I have to get down there and document it really, really well between each stage. Because, not just for my own, archives, but because for this particular project, all of my documentation I'm going to be using to sort of compose a final image. And then that image is going to replace the temporary sugar mural. And then the image is going to stay up for 4 years. And so for the composite image that I want to do, I want to have sort of all of the stages or multiple stages of its degeneration one image.
And is there enough money to do some sort of lenticular printing?
No.
Okay, because that would be a way cool way of doing it, is as you pass by, it sort of melts right before your eyes.
Wow, that's a great idea.
Uh-huh. And it's not as expensive as you think. Because Janet Bellotto. She's worked with a lot of lenticular printing and done stuff and so on with fish and so on, but that's a whole different kettle of fish, a whole different artist, so we won't even mention. I'll just slip you contact information if necessary. But there, how do you make these tiles? Because there I understand it's a sort of thing, okay, you sort of sugar can turn into this sort of stuff, but given that I'm all thumbs when it comes to anything baking, and then even worse when it comes to drawing, it's like I understand the concept, it's the actual technique that confuses the hell out of me.
Well, sugar's a very versatile material. So for these ones, they look a lot like ceramic tiles. So first of all, I make the tile, and then I paint the image on top. So for the tile itself, I use the most refined sugar you can get, the icing sugar type.
Yeah, no, that's always strikes me, sorry to interrupt, but I always have extreme fond family memories because my grandfather used to always have strawberries for breakfast or strawberries for dessert, and he would always put the icing sugar on top of them. And so anytime I see icing sugar, it's,
memories.
My grandfather, yes.
Yeah, people seem to always have some kind of memories of sugar and sweets. Yeah, so I mix the icing sugar with gelatin, plain gelatin and water. And I mean, long story short, you sort of mix it up into a dough, like a paste, and then you roll it out, almost like you would clay. And then I make the forms, and then they harden, and then they get really, really hard. They're still very delicate because they're thin and it's fragile, but they're hard. And then I paint the image on top in sections. And then I actually apply them to the wall with more of a mixed up icing.
Okay.
So everything on there is icing. And everything's edible. Even the colors, the tints that I use are actual colors used for cake decorating.
And food dye.
Yeah. Well, it's not. Yeah, it is, but it's specifically for cake decorating.
Okay.
It's a bit more concentrated than the stuff you get at the superstore.
Okay. And how did you come up with this idea?
Well, it's a long evolution, I guess. I've been working with sugar for about 10 years. And the work has changed for me, both technically and conceptually. But I also work for a mosaic company.
Mosaica.
Yes. And so I'm sure that that's influenced my practice as well.
If I remember correctly, I think the first work of yours that I saw was like the Gucci handbag that was a cake.
Right.
And now you're saying that you've been doing it 10 years, and we're like, Jesus, that is a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you... Yeah, where did that sort of, is now sort of as opposed to just specifically sugar? Because then I've also seen pictures on your website where then you morphed into sand briefly and stuff like that, which is also a very nice thing. But where did this idea of working with food and or food objects or food stuff, because that is, using food as art is always intriguing.
Well, I began using sugar more so as a material... More so as a decoration, and I was using it as one form of decoration to reference other types of decoration, thinking about issues of taste, sort of a play on the word taste, good taste, bad taste, high, low art, that kind of a thing. And then I think I was almost ready to abandon sugar when I first went to India in 2001, and I didn't use any sugar there. I gave a lot of public talks on my work, and people always made comments about the waste of it. They were so surprised that I would use this edible material in such a wasteful way. And it was actually the first time that I really thought about how wasteful that was, because me being a spoiled North American, you know, that was the first time I really realized just how wasteful we are. And so then I started to rethink that material and rethink my work and my culture. And that was when I came back and started to do the Gucci handbags and just more of the still life displays that were, again, more cake, actually, a little bit less of the pure sugar, but cake sculptures, thinking about consumer culture and excessive consumer culture and decadence. And so that sort of led into that work.
Okay.
That's where I say I feel like the work changed for me.
Because, yes, to me, the sort of thing where while it's wasteful if you are only expecting it to have one use... To me, if you are then using it and then causing all sorts of effects that are not expected but are probably exponentially larger and more influential, then it's not going to waste. It's the sort of thing where, yeah, you can take a car, and if for whatever reason you can then use a car not by driving it but by them causing people to rethink the way that they use the car. Just
right.
Because the car isn't on the road doesn't mean you're wasting the car.
Yeah, of course, how you
by
use
using,
things.
By starting that, now to use the art, get into that sort of art speak sort of line, is that if you suddenly start a dialogue with people about the wastefulness of food and the whole sort of, as you put it, also the whole sort of history of taste and then the then to get into the whole sugar trade and so on, and you're using this as the sort of starting point for starting those discussions, you're not wasting anything.
No. And desire as well. Mm-hmm. You know, how you desire and want to eat cake, just like you want to consume stuff, and then mm-hmm. the sort of guilt cycle that mm-hmm. can possibly enter into
yes.
that
uh-huh.
circle.
No, you can even go to like France and sort of build a whole, what is it? No, never mind. Let's not go there with the guillotine. Never. But yeah, let's go to Brazil.
And then Brazil yeah. happened. So there again, I went to Brazil the first time in 2004. That was when I did the sand sculptures. And just did a little bit of sugar work. And a lot of the stuff I tried to do there the first time didn't really work because the humidity was all different. And I had to change up my recipe a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that context, again, made me rethink sugar because the sugar industry was based mm-hmm. there. And I started to see the material in a different way and kind of, in some ways, go back to the material itself. And that sort of started the work, essentially, that I'm still doing now. So less about using sugar as a metaphor for other things, but really looking at sugar itself mm-hmm. and then that history.
Okay. And then...
And the tile azulejos as well. I mean, those are really common in Brazil.
One more time?
The tile azulejos, which refers to the blue
okay.
tile.
Okay, the Delft sort of stuff for the Dutch,
right.
Dutch in the crowd.
Yeah.
And then, I'm not even going to try and get into that history there of trying to figure out, okay, so how I can understand how the Dutch ships would have then influenced the Portuguese ships as they were all heading down to South America 400 years ago, but... Let's leave that.
Well, that blue tile, mm-hmm. if we'll just simplify it, yeah. You know, you've got the Dutch, Portuguese, Spanish, French, English. They all
yes.
have their own version mm-hmm. of that look.
Mm-hmm.
And those are essentially all of the countries and cultures that I kind of wanted to keep referencing. So, okay.
And
as I say, in Brazil, there's a lot of that
yes,
from the Portuguese. Mm-hmm.
And so how many times have you been back and forth to Brazil?
4 times.
And you really want to... change and it's winter's coming.
Oh, I love Brazil. I don't ever want to stop going to Brazil.
Okay.
Especially in wintertime.
Yes. There to talk about here and what is happening here. We referenced that it's at the corner of William and Duke and so on. This whole Darling Foundry thing, how did you get involved with it? How did they get involved with you and so on?
This particular project is called Plan Large. And it's a billboard initiative that the Darling Foundry has. They have 4 billboards, and for each Modula Photo, it's a combination thing between the Darling Foundry and Modula Photo. So Modula Photo happens every 2 years. I'm going to explain this slowly so I don't confuse you.
I confuse easily.
So I find it confusing. There's 4 billboards, and every Modula Photo, they switch 2 of them. So essentially, they all stay up for 4 years. Mm. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So the one that I have is the ground level one. There's a couple that are up high, mm-hmm. and then there's another one that's ground level in another location. So I proposed for the Plan Large project to show an image from one of the Brazil installations of the ships at sea, which mm-hmm. was the sugar mural. And they liked it, and they said, yes, we want this project, but let's put a spin on it. Why don't you do a new one? And then you can document that one and put up the photo based on this one. So I thought it was a great idea, and mm-hmm. I was really happy that they proposed it. I had thought about proposing it, but I didn't think that they'd go for it. So it all sort of worked out.
Oh, so you thought of the idea that they actually ended up proposing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they sort of came back to me with it.
Oh.
I said, wow, that's a great idea.
definitely. And there it's the sort of thing where from this, you talk about having or wanting to change and so on. Do you have any specific concepts, any vague ideas of where and how stuff morphs from here, where the next stop is?
I try not to think about that because it sort of has a life of its own. I mean,
if you want, you can say no, and we can go on to.
Well, I have ideas for projects that I've been thinking about and brewing for about 6 or 7 years. So, you know.
Okay, so that's basically a polite way of saying none of your business.
It's still in the formative stages.
Okay, then to backtrack slightly, with something like this Plan Large project, when did you initially get the sort of first sort of nut of the idea, the first root of the idea? to do it and how long till it actually came to fruition?
It was a really quick turnaround.
Okay.
Actually, I think I proposed it in winter, this past winter. Okay. I don't remember, maybe like February or March. And then a couple months later, I found out that I got it. And it was just basically started to production in June.
Okay, I'm thinking of prior to the actual application. So just to figure out, okay, where you're saying you have these ideas that have been hanging around 6 or 7 years.
Oh, those ones.
If the idea that had initially been Darling Foundry was from 10 years ago, then we say, okay, I understand. If the one from the Darling Foundry was only like 2 weeks before the deadline for application or before the application got made, then we say, okay, there's a whole different way of thinking about how you come up with new and different stuff.
Well, this project is pretty closely linked to the stuff I've been doing for the last couple of years.
Okay.
So it's more of an extension of that stuff. Mm-hmm.
So that would account for why there is a shorter turnaround time.
Yeah, exactly. Because it wasn't like a completely new idea.
Okay.
It was an extension of stuff I've been working on.
And then also one thing before I forget to mention, we should mention your website so that people, if they don't want to go out in the rain, because yes, I got caught in a little bit of a drizzle as I was walking here this morning.
Yes. The website is consumptuous.com.
C-O-N-S-U-M-T-I-O-U-S.
C-O-N-S-U-M. T-U-O-U-S.
Consumptuous. That's right?
Consumptuous. Yes.
So yes, one more time for the people who are slow because it is early in the morning.
It's a tricky word.
C-O-N-S-U-M-P-T-I-O-U-T-U-O-U-S.
Consumptuous. I wrote a comment.
You can add anything you want. I just wrote it down and asked, is this right? Got told yes and then started reciting.
I'm blind. It's early Monday.
I was checking throughout, of course, as I tend to do during your alternate arts review or interviews, and I was just seeing it how the type of architecture or styles that you're influenced by, and to see, to figure out that that's all made by sugar. It's right. Just really, wow, you're just, it looks like it's as if it's graffiti art sometimes on the wall. For one of them, I think it's the Pipe Dreams in 2001.
Right, yeah.
Kind of looks as if it was someone that just spray painted that and not at all. And so I'm like, wow, there's like so much texture, so many layers, kind of create a new dimension there. And then I was looking at this consumption series that you were, I think, kind of mentioning as well, 2005, 2006. And you just see it and you're like, wow, it looks like advertising there, but obviously it's a commentary, of course, on it.
Yeah.
But it's so well done. It's just really incredible to see, and highly recommend for our listeners to check out your website and, of course, check out your latest piece. Thanks so much for coming in. Margo has a question.
And Margo, grab the microphone. Nobody can hear you.
Well, anyway, Democracy Now! Headlines is coming up, so Margo will ask her question off air. Thank you so much again.
Thank you
for coming in, Shelley Miller. And thanks, Zeke.
No problem. Thank you.